Schrift der Heilige Halacha.
Referred to the Halacha Hay of Kilayim. And the first Shura Achat B'Tok Shalot. The Shura Achat B'Tok Shalavero. And suppose a person plants a Shura in a vineyard, which is in his own property, right across a path is a Shura of another fellow, it's not his, who happens to have planted a vineyard in precisely the same path. And so now we have vines lined up against each other in two Shurot, owned by two separate people. And we even have a Derech Yachid or a Derech Harabim. When it says over here Derech Harabim, it means a Shtiel Harabim, not a Derech Harabim, which is Sheshes Leamot, which of course would have been absent. So you have a Derech Harabim, meaning even though people are passing by along it, the Emsa, or even if there's a fence between them. But even if there's a fence between them, as long as that fence is Namuf Miasarat Fakim, it's lower than 10 Fakim high, the two separate rows are mitzvahim to create a kerem, and therefore from both of them you would have to be marking arba amos, and you would not be able to treat those vines as being separate vines, which only require shisha tefachim of distancing. Gavoa mi'asara tefachim. However, if you have a fence that's 10 tefachim high, then inan mitzvahot. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, even in that case, in ersan milamala. If you trellis them together up on top, then the fence becomes bottle, because now we look at it as just sort of a trellis. So in other words, if everybody can see the leaves of both of these kerumim joining on top of the fence, then the fence is not considered to be a break between them. On the contrary, it's simply supporting the vine. This is the Gemara. Rav Acha says, and this concerns me, this Mishnah, because let's have a plea of Rabbi Shimon. Is this not a machlok? Because I was saying, like a spam Mishnah that is going against Rabbi Shimon. We're going to see, I mean, we had Rabbi Shimon in the Gemara, but we're going to see Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah coming up. Rabbi Shimon Omer, in Adam Makdish, Davar Sheino Shalom. The case over there is if somebody is Mitzachek, his Gefen on somebody else's Torah. So Rabbi Shimon says he can't offer somebody else's thing. So how does it work over here that one person's Karen, or not Karen, but one person's Shura, should join with another person's Shura to offer a third party? Well, whoever's going to be Mitkarev, either Karen. But over here it's like, this isn't yours and this isn't mine. So I'm offering a Dovah Shana Shuli by turning it into a Karen, in other words, right? I've turned your kerem into a dover iser. Sure, he holds another makdish dover shena shalot. Well, the Gemara is going to answer the difference that's bothering you. Answers the Gemara. Well, of course, I mean, that's two different situations. Tamam, ain't adam makdish dover shena shalot. And here the point isn't the same. Because there, all that we're talking about is you cannot use your vines to asser someone else's vine. Brahmahasa, however, here, what's the case here? I can offer if I have a carom. You can offer if you have a carom. So the two of us together have a carom. Now the third person becomes offer to be mikarid his royim to our carom. I mean, I'm not coming to offer his royim, he's coming to offer his royim. We're only coming to define whether or not I have a carom. What does that have to do with Ein Adam Moser Davar Sheino Shelo?
Won't that, by essence,
usher
the stuff
of the
guy in the neighbor's stuff?
Yeah, if he puts it there.
So even without his...
That's the neighbor. Who put it there? Not me.
What if the other person came and put something there? So I would still be
talking
to you.
So we could ask that by any time that somebody has a carom. According to Rabbi Shimon, he said, Kalayim is an impossibility. Would you ask that question too? The person came and he put his zera next to my carom. So he offered his royim.
Right.
So over here we're just coming now to define what the kerem is. So we're saying that the kerem that it comes from two different people is a kerem. What does that have to do with answering your Dover Shana Shal? Yeah, as if they were Shuddha. No, what does it have to do? Why are we? I'm sure if you don't know, why are you asking? But you know what? It would be very helpful if before you ask a question, you would figure out what you're asking. because otherwise it demands of all of us to go into your head, and it's, you know, if we were learning Bhagavad Gita, then that's what learning is all about. But how can we do that? All we're coming to define over here is, in a case where somebody else didn't have das, can I offer his thing? Here we're not talking about his das. We're just defining what the karam is.
Don't you need to have his das to use my grace, my vine?
No, why should I? I'm not offering anything from him. His grace, my grace. No grace became offered.
But because it's a karam, therefore things can become
offered. That's right.
Having it with a karam is...
That's correct. But it is a karam.
My neighbor's stuff, I am causing him, or could potentially cause him
access
by making a karam with his stuff without his stuff.
I'm not offering anything, I'm just making a karam.
But that's his body.
Okay, well,
karam,
you know what? This is what the Gemara is coming to teach us, is to make that distinction. Yeah, Bimana didn't ask the question in this way, because what he holds is that there's really no comparison directly the way that you made it. Because what we're talking about over there, he was asking, the original question was from the din of someone who puts his gefunin over somebody else's tshua. But over there, it really has nothing to do with this, because over there, Rabbi Shimon holds that you're even allowed to be misachek. In other words, it's not because you can't offer it. In which case, if you went ahead and were mitzakeh, I mean, we could say the same thing over here in our Mishnah. Does it say over here that it's mitzareth to make it asa? It just says it's mitzareth to asa. It's a big difference between asa and making asa, correct? Making asa means if it were done, that the things would be permanently asa to eat. And then we would over on a lo yugdash, right? Those would become kodesh, so to speak, which is what happens to Kalei HaKaren. But that's not what Rabbi Shimon was talking about. As Rabbi Shimon just said, the question was whether you're allowed to or you're not allowed to, not whether they became usher or they didn't become usher. So who's to say that our Mishnah, it says that it would become usher? It's just saying that it's a Karen and you're not allowed to be Mekarabit to this Karen. So, what's the riot for Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon says, "Ain adam mesu davar sheni shelo." Does it say over here that a person cannot say davar sheni shelo? Does it say that if another person's tshuva was next to his karma would be also? Show me where it says that. What does it say here about the tshuva? Does it say it's also? Nothing. Does Rabbi Shimon say anything about the case as to whether it's mutter or also? No. All he said was he can't answer the other guy's thing. Fine. So what does that mean to say? Answer the other guy's thing. It says you turned it into a karam. Maybe Enochinami. It's the type of karam that you couldn't pass to the other guy's thing. Do I know? Does it say it from the Mishnah? If you want to ask a kasha from Rabbi Shimon, that Mishnah is not what to ask for. Now, what you should have said is like this. Lo kein om Reb Shmuel b'shem Rabbi Zeira. That Rabbi Shimon can die saying. Get kemod Rabbi Shimon omer ein adam magdishba b'shem ha-shalom. What you really should be asking is like this. When we said that you're allowed, when you have a case, not by Kalei HaKaren, you have a case of Kalei HaZroim. Some guy has a field of chitim, another guy has a field of sowing. Okay, now, by Kalei HaZroim, we're never talking about offering. We're only talking about whether it's mutter or it's also to do with hatila. Because the whole din of offering is only said on Kalei HaKaren, right? Now, over there, we see that Shmuel Rebbe Zeira, Shmuel quotes Rabbi Zeira as saying that according to Rabbi Shimon, the halacha would be that there's no problem of putting your chitin next to the other guy's sa'arim. Why? Because by now extending what Rabbi Shimon said, legabe kalei HaKaren, we can therefore say that he would hold that it's even mutter to be matzmich your zroim to the other guy's zroim of another type, and there would be no iser. Aha! You know, if we need Dina Lachatila. And now that's against the mission. So if all you had was the case of Rabbi Shimon, you didn't bring to me Shmuel's extension of Rabbi Shimon, then I could tell you, it's Amarat, is what you're asking. Whatever they were talking about, Kalei HaKaren. All Rabbi Shimon said is you can't usher. The Mishnah over here is talking about whether you can make the karam to make it usher to plant, not whether the things that were planted became usher. So that is what kind of question you're asking. But now that I can show you that we extended the din of Kalei HaKaren even at the Kalei HaZroim, By Kodesh Rayim, we can't be talking about offering, right? Making something offering that was kosher, because it never makes anything offering that was kosher. So all we're talking about is whether or not it's mutter to do. Nonetheless, we said, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon, it's mutter to do it l'chatchila. In which case, here, it should be mutter to do l'chatchila, and yet our Mishnah is claiming it's a kerem and also to do at least the chatzila, maybe even an ashi. But certainly there's no way of getting out of the fact that the Mishnah is saying at least the chatzila, you can't do it. That's not like Rabbi Shimon, because we should say the same thing. Answers the Gemara, the same answer, obviously, then the answer doesn't change. This is the way Rabbi Mun is asking the question. The question is more sophisticated. It takes into consideration that you shouldn't jump to conclusions if the Mishnah is saying that you've ushered the tour that was planned amongst you. That's all. So it's a more sophisticated question. So the answer is that Taman ain't the Magdish Davar Shene Shalom. Brahm Hacha Shalom Vishal Kaviral Mitzkafim Leshvara to Emtsa'i. Same exact parents that we had at Rav Acha's version of the Kasha, because we had a better Kasha.
This is a Heilige Halacha.
Halacha Vav, Parakavi, Kalani. Hanotea Shtei Shulot. In Ein Benehem Shimona Amot, Lo Yavizar Alasham. So somebody now plants two shurot, and as we've said before many times, the maximum shear between shurot that they should be considered a keren is 8 amos. If they're more than 8 amos away from each other, then they're considered to be separate vines, and as separate vines, they're not going to be offering 4 amos, they're only going to be offering 6 tefachim. So therefore, if you have 2 rows, if you don't have 8 amos between them, you can't bring any zera in there. If you have 3 rows, then he may over there, once you have 3 rows, so now you have a kerem gadol. A kerem gadol would require 16 amos between them, because we view the part in the middle as the equivalent of a karachat kerem. And a karachat kerem is 16 amos. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Amir, Mishum Hananya ben Chakinai, Afilu Harvaha and Tsait, the In Din Shalach Avatar Sheshishre Ama, Lo Yavizar Lasham. The correct way of saying this is that if you had a Karen and then the middle row became Haruf, so now you're left with a Karakata Karen, then you can't bring Zara, because we said that Shira, the Karakata Karen is 16 Amas. But certainly, had you planted it that way, we wouldn't have applied the din of Karachat HaKerem over there. If there's a distance of 16 amos, so then the 8 amos would have been sufficient. Anything beyond 8, once you get out of that area of 4 on either side, which is the distance exactly you mark it from each one of these sides, then already there'd be no problem.
But if you had more than 8, then you wouldn't have but
if you plant the chatzila, you're saying? Correct. That's what he's saying. If it would be mutter b'shmona amas.
Exactly.
Any more you're going to well, the Gemara is going to go. We're going to this. Let's hold off a little bit. I'm ready here, huh? I said it's chalamin. Me'achat shumatat kamo sheshesrei al sheshesrei amo. Actually, there's a case in which a guy was, he had a large cairn, but what he did was he kept 16 amos. If the chatzila, even if you have a big keren, you plant it in such a way that there's 16 amas between the various rows, then you can even bring in zera l'chatzila. You know, Amar Rav Yehuda, there was actually a case in Shlamim of somebody who planted his keren in this fashion, and what he did was he alternated rows, and that's for agricultural reasons. He didn't want to plant the rows every year, so he wanted to leave them fallow one year, plant them the other year. So what he would do is, every other year, he would have the vines growing into a different space. So one year he would have rows 1 and 2 growing towards each other, and one year he would have rows 2 and 3 growing towards each other, and the middle space between 1 and 2 empty. And that way, he would plant an alternate years, alternate rows between these vines. So Hayahotse Sa'ar, remember that we call the vines hair. So the Sa'ar of Shtei Shurot B'Tzad Echad, and then he would be Zoreya his mirror that he had prepared in advance for with his plow. The next year he would now take the vines, have them grow out over the space that he had planted the year before, and this year he would be Zorea Tabur. He would plant the place that he hadn't plowed the year before. They said, yeah, well, what's the matter? There's no problem over here. The Gefonim are not growing over the Truah, and it should be Mutter. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Meir, Omrim, the shear is not Sheshes Re'amot, even in a Kerem Gadol. Af Noteat Kamo Al Shimon Amot, even if Noteat, what they mean is even Noteat Kerem Gadol. So even if you're Noteat Kerem Gadol and you have three Shuot, it's Mutter L'Chatchila once you go beyond eight Amot. In other words, we have a Machlokas over here, whether a Kerem Gadol requires eight Amot or 16 Amot between the roads. So the Gemara. Over Rabbi Ze'ira, when we say eight amos over here, it means excluding the actual vine itself. In other words, there need to be eight amos between the vines. So we are not included over here, which would mean that the total area would be more than eight amos of the carrot, right? Because that includes the place of the wine, of the vine. So Tumla de Tema Shimona, Chutz Mima Kom Kratun, Utigavata Arba'a, Chutz Mima Kom Kratun. Now, in the same way that you're saying that you need over here eight amas minus, in other words, eight amas besides the area of the vine, so too when we say you have to be marking four amas from a kerem, it means four amas from a line that you draw at the edge of the vine. But the vine itself is not included within the four amas. It's four amas chutz the vine.
What
is it?
Like
it's... No, the end of the word is plugged into the ground.
It's a root system.
No. Not the root system. The trunk of the vine. So he apparently, therefore, is learning that we have the same shear of hachaka mibachutz as we do of defining the shear of the Kerem Nidasi, right? He's saying that in neither case is the vine included. Omar Rabbi Elazar, his new tocho yoter nechutzala. The shear that you need between the shirot in order that it should be mitzuraf now to a Kerem. So over there we're going to be machmir always in all the shear, as I'm going to show you, more than the shear of Har Kaka. So, in other words, even though the shear to make it a keren is lechumra, and therefore even if it's more than eight amos, because it's not including the area of the vines themselves, however, chutzalo, the four amos, includes the shear of the vine itself. And what Rabbi Zeira said is not true, that it's the same chumra in chutzalo as it is in tocho. So in other words, we're coming to define what the eight amos are there. In Afinami, the eight amos do not include the shear of the geta, which means that we're going to be machmir to give this a din of a kerem, even though there's eight amos between the vines. But when it comes to arba amos, you require arba amos including the vine. But let's say you're four amos outside of the edge of the vine. That little area, let's say the vine is 2 inches wide, so those 2 inches are mutter to plant in at the end of your four amas that you measured from the outside. The yi is being makel to exclude the area of the vine. Amar Rabbi Zeira, said Rabbi Zeira, well, I'll tell you, Ada Anan Taman, while I was still in Bavel, I mean, I figured this out for myself. So I had been mekayim for myself this svara that I said over here of the kama the tamar the hichmiru. I said that myself, and I said that we have to change the gears of according to the grow like this. Tocho sheshesre chutzalo arba. That's the gears that the grow puts in. In other words, we said in the Mishnah over here that there's a din of Sheshes Re'amot, right, back in the beginning, of Karachat HaKerem. Nonetheless, the shear for the Karen, the Harkaka, is only 4 amas. Isn't that so? So there's the 4 amas that should extend from the edge of both vines is only 8 amas. Nonetheless, the same for Karakata Karen, it's 16 amas. Right? Now, those 16 amas are obviously double what we would need otherwise. So I'm also smart enough when I was back in Belleville to understand that there's a major difference between the chumrah of areas that are between a Karen in defining the space of the Karen itself, such as Karakata Karen, and the areas of Harchoka from the vines of the Karen. So I'm only dealing with Harchoka, the vines of the Karen, I only need 4 amas. I mean, it's not a very big kiddush with what the Lazo is telling us over here. So, you know, I could be a baby in Bavo and still know that. And, you know, they don't know how to think in Bavo, but when I came here, I didn't need to learn that because I had figured it out even when I was back in Bavo. Says Rabbi Lazo, but Me'arba Amot Vat Shmona Asur Umikadesh. You know, you mustn't take that. Mm-hmm. My God, I don't know.